Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Welcome back in, everybody. If you're on your way into work, want to keep listening to Sports Daily even after you park the car, with the Odyssey app and Odyssey.com, you can. Just download the app, visit Odyssey.com, search for KFH, download it to get started. You'll also hear K-State there tonight, by the way, if you can't listen over the air. We appreciate everybody who downloads the show, listens to us in podcast form, everybody that leaves voice messages on the app for us. You can also leave us your comments on our video streams, Facebook, YouTube, X. And thanks for watching us as well on 12 News Connected. Tommy, Chiefs, Bills, round two. Here we go again with these two teams who play each other all the time. I'm going to be honest. I'm having a really difficult time handicapping how I think this game will go. I felt like I had a real good grasp of the last one, and I think it was a pretty good representation of what happened in that game against the Texans. I really don't have one in this game. I'm having a hard time with it. Like, honestly, my gut says no hero ball from Josh Allen if you're the Chiefs. Like, if you can stop that, you'll win the game. If you don't let him do what he did in the first round on that big fourth down play and things like that, like if he doesn't get the hero ball stuff, which he's very capable of doing, or if you can limit it at least, that's the ticket to the win for the Chiefs.
I think a big part of it was that the Chiefs should be really encouraged by what they saw from their pass rush against the Texans. And if they can even just get a fraction of that and that kind of pressure onto Josh Allen, then, you know, they could make it a little bit of a longer day offensively for the Bills. Now, Josh Allen and CJ Stroud are two totally different quarterbacks. And, you know, Josh Allen has shown over the course of his career that he can usually get away from the pass rush, you know, at a pretty good clip. And so it's going to be a larger challenge for the pass rush for Kansas City. But that was an element of their defense that we really hadn't seen come along quite at that level until last week.
I do think there's one thing to point out with that, and I think this is probably not getting enough run. CJ Stroud hurt his knee in that game, and it's almost like the Chiefs took advantage of that, right? They knew that, and you know, maybe that wasn't the only reason they got really, really aggressive late, but I do think they smelled blood in the water.
They did.
With Stroud's ability to avoid a pass rush, and so they came even harder. I don't think they can do that to Josh Allen.
I'm not suggesting that they can do that to Josh Allen. What I'm saying is that they hadn't shown that they could do it at that level up until a week ago. And that should be a motivating factor that, hey, like we can do this. Like, it encourages us to maybe do it a little bit more. Now, can they get to Josh Allen like CJ Stroud? Probably not. But I do think that it at least should encourage what that unit can do.
And so, like, what they did against the Texans is encouraging and all of these things. I think with the Bills, though, it's probably going to look a lot different. I don't think they can play offense the same way. I don't think they can play defense the same way. I don't. And the good news is for Chiefs fit, I also think they're capable of playing about 100 different ways. And that's what their strength is, right? They can quickly adapt on the fly. But I don't imagine... Well, it's hard because you could say the Texans' game plan was effective. We talked about it yesterday. Yes, they let Travis Kelce eat, and Travis Kelce had the one big play that really inflated his numbers. They would have been good either way, but in totality, Tommy, the Texans' defense did a nice job limiting the Chiefs' offense. I mean, they did. So if you're Buffalo, do you see that and you say, let's do that again because we think we can score more than the Texans did in that game? Right, we don't think in the fourth quarter that Josh Allen's going to be swallowed up by a pass rush the way CJ Stroud was. So if you're Buffalo, do you look at it the same way and say, maybe we do let Kelce and not the receivers beat us because it's just whatever. We saw that be effective for the Texans. Or do you say, well, we're definitely not going to let Kelce do that to us.
But look,
then
I think
you open yourself up to the best version of the Chiefs offense, which we saw toward the end of the regular season.
I think Dan Israel mentioned this yesterday. I think that it's a little bit misleading as far as like the total number of yards that the Chiefs had because of the fact that they were working on short fields a lot. just because of some of the miscues that the Texans had. And I do think that that's important to look at. I don't think that the Texans did this bang up job of limiting Kansas City offensively. I think that obviously Travis Kelce had a big game. But then number two, Kansas City also showed that they can get it done in the red zone. And that was another challenge that I know that Kansas City struggled with throughout the regular season. So when it mattered the most for the Texans defensively, they weren't able to stop the Chiefs offense. They weren't able to stop them on third down. They went to Travis Kelce a lot. That's been a big formula and recipe for the last decade for the Chiefs. You go find Travis Kelce when you need a conversion. And then number two, the Chiefs were able to get the ball into the end zone in the red zone. And that's, again, a challenge. That's something that they haven't been able to do quite at the level they've wanted to. So I think that there's this misconception that the Texans locked down the Chiefs defensively, and I don't think they did.
Locked them down, but I think they did an objectively good job.
They did a good job on the wide receivers. They absolutely did.
Let me go down this road, and I don't want you to take this the wrong way. So I'm telling you right now, don't take this the wrong way at all.
Okay.
But think about this too. Okay, I'm just looking here back at the drive charts after the first roughing the passing penalty, right? Which would have been a drive-ending incompletion. That penalty didn't really have anything to do with the outcome of the play that would have made it fourth down. The Chiefs went on to gain another like 45 yards on that drive. Okay, so that's where you're frustrated, I think, if you're a Texans fan. Let me find the other one here. And again, I think the other one was far more, was a penalty. They gained and continue to drive that way too. So that's where I think like you're seeing some of the Texans' frustrations is they do feel like they had them off the field there. So only in the context of like total yardage is the only reason I bring that up. So in the context of total yardage, like if you end those, let's just say they're penalties and we'll call them penalties because they were penalties and that's fine. But without those mistakes, then the Texans' defense limits that Chiefs' offense even more. So when we're talking about game planning, if you're Buffalo, I do think there's something to take away from that coming from their perspective. Like, you know what? If the Texans don't have those two bad penalties, whether you think they were penalties or not, like if they didn't commit them, they really like they had two of those drives and one of them, the first one led to points, right? And so then you look at it if you're Buffalo and be like, that was a pretty good game plan in totality of the way they were able to do that. Now, I would also tell you that I think there was rust involved in that early on for the Chiefs offense too. If we're trying to look at the X's, which is what we're doing today, right? We're just trying to look at the X's and O's of this. I'm not so sure that if I'm Buffalo, I don't take away some style ideas and things that they did in the way that I'm going to approach the game. There's the counter, of course, of, well, Patrick Mahomes is going to react to that now because he just saw it too. So that's where you get into the difficulties of game planning against Mahomes anytime. But I don't think Houston had a bad game plan. They didn't let the Chiefs run all over them. They gave up some to Kelce. Kelce had the one big 50-yarder. And then otherwise, you're looking at, six catches, 50 yards. I think you live with that if you're Houston. He got one and he broke one off. He's a Hall of Famer, maybe the best that's ever done it. But I don't think that makes it a bad game plan necessarily.
I don't think they had a bad game plan by any means. I just don't think that, they did this remarkable job of locking down Kansas City offensively. And I think that's something that I'm not sure that anybody with the Chiefs looks at it from what happened against the Texans and thinks, man, like we've got to, change what we're doing big time as we play the Bills. I think the Bills are a completely separate beast. They've got, different qualities and attributes and advantages that the Texans didn't have and vice versa. Dan Israel, again, yesterday talked about Matt Milano and how, he's a difference maker. And he definitely has been. It's different. He plays a different kind of game than the great pass rush that the Texans have with Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. So that you've got a game plan a little bit differently for the personnel sure. that this team has. I'm not sure, though, that you come away, again, from that Texans game thinking, all right, we got to do something different against the Bills, at least offensively. I think they've
I'm
got
talking
enough.
About the other way.
They've got
I'm
enough
talking about what the Bills
right.
are doing.
I think they've got enough weapons to where, again, like if you bracket Travis Kelce if the Bills are like, we can't let Travis Kelce beat us in the way that he beat the Texans. If you bracket Travis Kelce, well, then the Chiefs are going to, it's a chess match. You've got DeAndre Hopkins and Hollywood Brown, yes. Xavier Worthy. I do think, I told you this during the game on Saturday, you and I were texting back and forth. I think my personal opinion is that Kareem Hunt should be running back one. I think he should be the lead back moving forward. It doesn't mean that you can't use Pacheco, but I think that what Kareem Hunt can do and his skill set, especially against the Bills, I think you need to lean on him early more than you need to lean on Isaiah Pacheco. That's just my opinion in the matter. So I do think that there are some tweaks that they should at least consider doing leading up to what Buffalo's defense can throw at you.
Yeah, let's get into it, because I have a better idea of like the Chiefs and what I think they should do offensively. This one was more about, you know, how does it match up on the Bills side of it? Like if I'm Sean McDermott, what am I looking at from that game? Yeah, let's get into the Chiefs then on the other side. Andy Reid talked about that. The defensive side, the last time these two teams played, the Chiefs defense had its worst game of the season. So there's that. What can the Chiefs do in offense? We'll have it all. We have Shreyas Lada helping us preview the KU game later in the hour as well. Stick with us. Sports Daily, coming right back.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We are glad to be here with you on this Wednesday. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster, Shreyas Lada coming up next segment to help us get ready for KU-TCU tonight. Glad to be here with you. We're talking Chiefs Bills this hour, so let's get into it. So that beginning there was sort of, what do the Bills take away? If you're the Bills, what do you take away from the game that you saw Houston play against Kansas City? Tom and I disagree a little bit. I actually think Houston did a pretty good job defensively against Kansas City, strategically. I think their offense didn't put them in good positions, and I think a couple of key penalties really inflated what the Chiefs were able to do to them. So if you're the Bills now, you look at it and you say, whatever they say to do, what should the Chiefs' offensive game plan? I can tell you that Andy Reid said yesterday one of the keys for the Chiefs defensively is third down defense, which if we remember parts of the Buffalo game, that was the Superman stuff I talked about from Josh Allen extending drives. Like he put on his cape for that
it's
game.
It's been a challenge all season for Kansas City. They have a hard time getting off the field defensively on third down.
And so Josh Allen had a big game. He, of course, had that big fourth down play for the put away touchdown and all those things. So when we go back, though, and we talk about the Chiefs offense here, and we'll talk about that first. What is the game plan? We did talk a lot about this. We'll start with a point that you brought up in the last segment that Kareem Hunt should be the lead guy. It's not, I don't care which one of them. Let me start over. I love the hot hand approach for a team like the Chiefs right now, when Isaiah Pacheco, you know, still coming back from injury and all those things. I will say this, though. I do prefer, if Kareem Hunt ends up with more carries, totally good with it, doesn't bother me. I do, though, prefer to start the game with Pacheco because of his propensity to break off the chunk plays. The one thing Kareem Hunt can't do anymore is that. Like, he doesn't have chunk plays really in him anymore other than 10 yards. Now, of course, he could do that and whatever. But for the most part, we haven't seen that from him. Pacheco, we know, has that in the tank and could break one off at any point. And so, like, if you're going to give Hunt more carries, which I am totally on board with, I would rather see that late in the game, your closer, sort of in the rotation like they did it last time, because I would love for the Chiefs to, and I don't want to call it a cheap one, but I think you know what I mean, get a cheap one early. Where the blocking is perfect and Pacheco can break one off and get you a quick touchdown when you weren't expecting it.
Yeah, I disagree. I mean, I think that you need to start with Kareem Hunt because you need to establish a rhythm offensively. And Isaiah Pacheco early on in the game had a really difficult time against Houston getting positive yardage to a point to where it would extend drives for Kansas City early in the downs, like first down, second down, like early in the game. there wasn't a whole lot there for him. When Kareem Hunt came in later in the game, he was able to, I think, have a little bit more momentum in that regard. But it's going to be crucial for Kansas City to establish drives early in the game, because you mentioned the rust factor. I think that was some of it. Like, they had drives stalling out in part, not totally because of Isaiah Pacheco, but in part because Pacheco had a hard time getting it going on early down situations. So I feel like if you give it to Kareem Hunt and he can get you 4 or 5 yards on first down, as opposed to like last week with Isaiah Pacheco getting you one or none on first down, then that's going to allow you to get into a little bit more of a rhythm. And I think Kareem Hunt's got a better chance of doing that in this game against Buffalo than Pacheco does early on. It doesn't mean that I don't think Pacheco should see the field. I definitely think he should, because as you mentioned, he has the propensity and the ability to break one off. But I would rather early on in the game see the Chiefs be able to establish drives, keep the momentum going, and not, you know, potentially have a three and out situation or get a first down, but then, you know, be behind the sticks because you have a loss on a first down run from Pacheco.
Yeah, and I think Houston deserves some credit for that. And honestly, if sure, you flip flopped it and you let Pacheco do that against a more battered defense, we see Saquon Barkley maybe break him off and Derrick Henry in the second half. So I'm good with it either way. I think the point is use them both. And that we agree on. I think you have to look back. We're talking about Buffalo looking back to what Houston did. If you're Kansas City, you've got to look back at what Baltimore did. And Baltimore ran the ball very effectively, especially late in that game, like very effectively. And so I think you take something away from that. Here's the big difference, though, from the last time we saw the Chiefs play the Bills, is the Chiefs passing game now is years better than what it was the first time they played. And I do think, and this is where when I say I have a really hard time like pegging what exactly what I think will happen in the game, because now it's Josh Allen on the other side. We know historically how some of these games have gone. I do think and won't have a problem with the Chiefs trying to be a little more high octane on offense either. I'd love for them to play ball control offense, run the ball and keep Josh Allen off the field. I just don't know if they're going to be able to do that. So as effective late in the year as that passing game has been, I also don't mind if they sit there and say, you know what, we're going to try and shred them that way. It's not the best pass rush. It's not a bad pass rush. It's just not like what the Texans is to me. And so if you want to throw it more than you might in another game, I honestly think I'm okay with it, because now they have their full complement of receivers. Now you have a more competent left tackle situation than you did. And there's just such a good chance that you're going to have to, at some point, these two quarterbacks put their capes on and this becomes a little bit of a track meet. I don't know if it is for the whole game, but for a portion of the game, it feels like it might be, and you got to be able to keep up. So like my gut says kind of a worthy game, probably not as much of a Kelce game, probably a little more of a worthy game. I don't know what to make of DeAndre Hopkins' role right now. I would bet you that the Chiefs take, let's call it, at least 3 shots over the top in this game, if not more, because you got to try and get some. And again, I keep calling them cheap ones, but you know what I mean. You got to keep trying to catch them on their heels a little bit and score some points that way. Because I think if you can get a lead in this game, you're in good shape. I don't think you want to play this team coming from behind, because I'll bet you this. I'll bet you Buffalo tries to run the ball.
Okay, so when you combine the regular season and postseason, the Bills have played 19 games this year. You know how many of those games they've scored 30-plus points? 13 of the 19 games, they've scored 30-plus points, including games where they've scored 48, 42. How many times have the Chiefs scored 30 points this season? Zero. Zero times. So, you know, that going back to that whole, like, you might need to be a track meet, I think that's a bad outcome for the Chiefs. I don't think that they don't want to play that game. So, I mean, I think that as far as, like, taking shots downfield and things like that, if you time it right and you know you pick your spots to do that, if you're Kansas City, okay. But I think the ball control piece of it, you're way underselling the importance. I think Kansas City has to have ball control in this game.
The importance is is top of it's top of the list. I'm just saying I don't know that they'll be able to do it exclusively through the run game. And so what we saw late in the year, why featuring Worthy that way and featuring these receivers, that's what I'm talking about. I think we may see them attack the Bills the way they attack teams late in the year versus what they, you know, I do think they should take a few shots in this game because I do think that's a good way to keep. But I would, what I'm saying is it a 28 running back carry kind of game? I doubt it. But the ball control can come in the way that they did that late in the year against the Texans, not the playoff game, but the game before, and the Steelers and some of those games where they just picked you apart and had long, sustained drives. It's a lot of what they did last year, right? That's kind of what they did with Rashee Rice last year. Now they've got kind of three guys between D-Hop and Worthy and Kelsey. All of them can do that. And I think they're going to feature that. So I don't know if they're going to give the running backs the ball 25 times. I don't. In fact, I don't think they will. I think they'll attack it through the short passing game. And what I'm saying is I'm okay with that now.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Didn't used to be. The last time they played out, I said that's insane. Now, though, with Tooney at left tackle, with all the receivers and the weapons there, I think that's probably the way they're going to attack the Bills is through a short pass.
And I don't care if it's, you know, success through the running game or if it's success through the short and intermediate passes. If you have success in either one of those phases, then that should allow you to be able to take some shots. If they're well-timed, if they're in the moment of the game plan or whatever that is, I get it. I don't think if we see a scenario where the Chiefs offensively feel like they have to start forcing shots. And that goes back to your point where if they're playing from behind, they're toast in that regard. That's not the way that Kansas City wants to play.
You're not going to keep Allen off the field.
Yeah.
Like if you give Allen a chance to have it be in the driver's seat, like he's the ultimate third down quarterback. And I don't know what the numbers roll out this year, but when you're a quarterback like him and you can run the way he can, it's the ultimate. Mahomes does the same thing, right? Mahomes in the postseason on third downs runs for first downs. Like Mahomes rushing yards is such a great prop in the postseason because you know he's going to take off to get first downs. And Josh Allen does the same thing. And so, yeah, if you get behind and Allen knows you're behind, he is going to do everything in his power to not let you have chances to catch up. And that's what makes him. That's how they beat the Ravens, right? Hey, Ravens. You're going to make a couple of mistakes. We'll get a lead. Watch us not do anything on offense, but hold the ball and not let you be on offense anymore. And they are totally capable of doing that.
That's where James Cook comes in.
Cook is underrated, but it's James Cook and Josh Allen unleashed, right? There's no more holding anything back. And so now with both of those guys, is it Hurts and Barkley? No. Is it Lamar and Derrick Henry? No. But it's really good with Josh Allen and James Cook, like really good. And it makes their red zone offense really lethal because those two guys score tons of touchdowns. So if you're the Chiefs, you got to be efficient. We all know it's the most obvious statement in the world to say neither one of these teams can afford turnovers. Look at what happened last week in all of the divisional games. I doubt that unless it's spectacular defensive plays, right? Like a blindside strip sack. I doubt we see very many turnovers in this game. If you gave me an over-under, I'd say two or fewer total turnovers in this game. It'll take great defensive plays. I don't think these quarterbacks are going to make mistakes. I don't think they're going to allow themselves to make mistakes. They both know what it takes to win this game, and that's the one thing you absolutely cannot do is turn the ball over.
I think also Amari Cooper is probably the best decoy in the NFL, the way that he fits into this Bills offense, because it's not like he's, you know, being featured, right? It's not like he's getting, you know, a bunch of catches and yardage and things like that. But even just his, you know, mere presence on the field, I think attracts a lot of attention. And it's allowed guys like Khalil Shakir, who is really underrated, I think, league to feast big time. Keon Coleman's been up and down. I know, obviously, you know, he's still growing into his role in the NFL. But the tight end play, that's been an area that the Chiefs have struggled with all year, and the Bills have two great ones. And so it's going to be, I think, a major test, obviously, again, for Trent McDuffie, for Jalen Watson. Hopefully, you know, they can continue to increase Watson's time on the field and all of that. But it's going to be a test of the secondary for sure, and especially on third downs, number one. but then also doing what you can to try to limit what Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid can do.
Yeah, both of these, and it starts with the quarterbacks, they're so capable of doing so many different things well. Everyone I talk to, they're like, man, this is going to be a really great game. And it's like, there's almost no chance it's not, because what we knew going into the Houston game, we had a real good idea of what was going to happen. Like, Kelsey's going to go off, right? Like, you could see it coming a mile away. Kelsey's going off in this game. Houston's seen what's happened. They're going to have to stop these receivers. Kelsey's going to feast. Buffalo, whether they let that same thing happen, that's I don't know. Like, I'm not saying he won't. It may be another big Kelsey game, and Buffalo may be totally fine with that. I'm not sure yet I don't think I'm going to have a good take on that. This will be a hard game to handicap if you're looking at props, if you're looking at any of it, because both of these teams are versatile. They have shown throughout the course of this season they can win in different ways. They did it last week. Look at the lines. Like, look at the way Buffalo won that game. And weather played a factor, but you'd have never guessed that in a million years when we went into that game that Buffalo would win if Josh Allen threw for 127 yards and only ran for 20 yards. Josh Allen only had 147 combined yards in that game. We go into that and I tell you that, you'd be like, oh, the Ravens are going to smash them. It's not what happened. They're capable of doing that. And to your point, they score 30 points more often than they don't.
Yeah.
They're also capable of track meeting
you. Yeah, they can do it in Kansas a couple different ways. And it goes back
Kansas
to what
City's
you,
the same way.
It goes back to what you had mentioned before that, you know, every team is going to be this way, but really Buffalo knows how to take advantage of turnovers. They're going to let you make a mistake and then they're going to put their foot on your throat. And the Ravens turned the ball over. Lamar threw a pick. Put the ball on the turf. Mark Andrews put the ball on the turf. Like, those sort of things, you are not going to be able to survive when you're playing a team like Buffalo. The good news for Kansas City going into this game, they've not turned the ball over in 2 months. Right. They have cut down on that. They know, at least in the last 2 months, the last seven games they've played, since the last time they played Buffalo in Buffalo, how to take care of the football. That's been a really nice development for the Chiefs in the last couple of months. And honestly, they wouldn't be in this position if they had been playing the way that they played and still turning the ball over. And the fact that they were able to clean that part of it up, I think it is a huge factor going into this game. You mentioned, you know, how many, like, the over under as far as total turnovers, and you said two or under. I think it might even be one or under, because Buffalo, I don't think is going to turn the ball over. And I really don't think Kansas City will either.
But I think there are enough playmakers on defense where you've got to be careful to that too. Like, there can be turnovers that weren't necessarily like a mistake that was made, but they were just an incredible defensive play. Right. And I think both of these teams, like, I'll bet you at the top of their list this week and the things that they talk about, not turning the ball over is at the top of both of their lists. Like, it is a concerted effort. And what that means is maybe they don't take a chance on a play, especially early, that they don't have to, because they're going to ensure that they don't turn the ball over. Kansas City, from their perspective, they can afford to do that now because they're healthy. They couldn't afford to do that early in the year. Mahomes had to take chances. He didn't have anybody to throw it to. He had to take those chances. And it's not just on offense that they're healthy. Now you have more trust in your defense with Chris Jones fully healthy, with the pass rush finally being somewhat effective, and Jalen Watson's back. There's a trust factor there if you're Mahomes. Yep, don't need to throw that. We'll be fine. We got everybody back on defense. They'll come make a stop for us. The Chiefs haven't been able to say that all year. They haven't. They've been, you know, for a variety of reasons, they haven't been able to say that. They also have to be careful not to allow left tackle to cause a blindside strip sack. What does that mean? Probably means a quicker passing game, right? It means they're going to try. And that's great. That's fine. You better believe that Andy Reid and Sean McDermott every single day this week, and Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, are in there talking to everybody individually and saying, hey, just want to remind you, no mistakes this week. We're not turning the ball over. Don't make it easy on them, right? And because they're both smart enough to know we can't overcome that. Look at what happened last week. If you think we're so good that we can overcome that, I want you to look back at last week. Every team that turned the ball over more and outgained their opposition lost the game. every single time, all four games. It's simple. We have to take care of the ball. And so then if you don't factor in turnovers, what do you factor in? That's where this game is so compelling. You've got the two best in the business at quarterback. And these kinds of spots, my goodness. This is going in. This is as good as any of them have been going in. Like, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I got nothing for you. It's tough to predict. We'll keep trying to do it all week. When we come back, though, we'll talk KU hoops. Sharia Slaughter, our KU insider, joins to preview the game tonight. Next.
Oh, okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And welcome back in. Sharia Slaughter joins us, KU beat writer for the KC Star, on this Wednesday morning ahead of a big game tonight between KU and TCU down in Fort Worth. KU is a 6.5-point favorite in this game. Vegas thinks this will be a defensive slugfest. Trius, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We're good. We're good. So where do we stand right now with KU? The big start against K-State, they get the win. It's been as dominant maybe as people thought in the beginning of the year. It comes off of an Iowa State loss earlier in the week on the road that was closer than the final score would indicate. How are the Jayhawks feeling going into this week? TCU and Houston at home are the two games.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty important week in a sense. You have to win a road game against an opponent that is going to be a defensive, I think, game for both sides because their strengths lie on defense. And obviously winning at home against Houston is huge. Houston's a good team. And you want to come out there and win two in a row because I feel like we haven't seen Kansas win two in a row in a while. You know, it feels like we've been alternating between wins and losses for a little bit for the last few weeks. And obviously that's dependent on the opponents they've played. But kind of where I'm at with this team is elite, elite, elite defensive team has the opportunity to become a lot better than they are offensively. But right now I think they're like 45th, according to KenPom, in adjusted offensive efficiency. So it's just not a great offensive team compared to the last 2 years of what I've covered under Bill Self. They've been much better even then. So I think they can be better. I think it's going to be a big test without KJ Adams, the defensive end today. But really against Houston's going to be the bigger test. I'm encouraged by the defensive stuff. I'm encouraged by Flory's play. I'm encouraged by those things. I'm not sure what's going to happen with the offense. I think that's the big question mark I have. And I think that could be make or break them, I think, come March.
It was interesting, Sharias, because I felt like we saw in the Sunflower Showdown AJ Storr have an opportunity to maybe break out of his funk a little bit. I think he shot the ball better than we've seen him shoot maybe his entire time in Lawrence. And I don't know if that's, you know, the beginning of better things for AJ Storr or if it was kind of a perfect storm, everything coming together with KJ Adams out. You know, really, he needed to be leaned on a little bit heavier. What was your takeaway on Storr's play, and what do you think we'll see from him moving forward?
Yeah, I thought it was encouraging. I think that was the best defensive effort he's had probably all season. Offensively, it looked like he was doing the right things for the most part. I think he struggled to guard Coleman Hawkins. That was a tough assignment for him. Regardless, I mentioned this to another beat reporter. I think it's hard to take away things from games like Kansas State is just not a good team this year. Let's call it what it is. And I think the same thing that's going to happen today is like, I don't think TCU is a very good team. I think offensively, they're just not good enough for me to fit there and say, I think they're going to challenge Kansas enough to make this a game. I think Kansas is a better all around team at both ends. And by both metrics, TCU's offense is pretty putrid. The defense is really good, but this is the issue. It's like hard. How many, like, I haven't seen them give me this feeling with whether it's AJ or any of these other transfers that they accepted of Zeke Mayo, where I think against the top end of the conference or in March that they can handle themselves. There hasn't been consistency on that end. And that's my question with this Kansas team is yes, they can beat the bad teams. They can beat the mediocre teams, the average teams, but can they consistently beat the top end teams or even be in the conversation to beat them? Because they really weren't in Iowa State. I know we talked about it being a little closer than it was, and it was, close, but Iowa State led pretty much the entire way. There was always a 6-point lead minimum, you know, and KU kind of let go of the rope there, and you see that the spread was, I think, 6.5, and Kansas lost by like, what, 15, 20 almost?
17, I think.
Yeah. 17, yeah, yeah. So it's one of those things that, you know, I'm encouraged in some ways with this Kansas team, but it's really, really hard for me to sit there and say they are definitively the best team in the conference. I'm not even sure. Yeah, yeah. You know, and I think that's the thing, right? When you were a Kansas fan, the expectation was this team was going to be the best team, or at least competing for it. And they could be competing for a Big 12 title. They could, right? But it starts by consistency game in, game out. And I haven't really seen that from Kansas in a few weeks. And you know, it starts by winning today against TCU and then beating Houston at home, which they should do.
They're not the best team now, but I think they still could be. And I think if all things align and you get, and I'm glad you guys brought up AJ Storr, because we are seeing him gain a little confidence. Flory Badunga got his opportunity, and he was good in it. 26 minutes, but four fouls again. Shreyas, like, you know, like, what's Bill Self saying about his ability to stay on the floor? Because we all, like, anybody with eyes can see the upside of Flory Badunga and the things he can do for this team, but he has to be able to stay on the floor. And I don't remember the last game where he didn't have four fouls or three fouls or whatever it is. Like, he's still got to learn how to play college basketball. Where do you think that progress is for him among the coaches?
Yeah, you know, it's something Mills talked about where he wants him to stay longer, because then you have him extended period of time out. I think there was that run when K-State was making, Flory was off the floor at that point. You know, it just makes it so much easier for Kansas to be one-dimensional without him on the floor, with no KJ Adams either. You know, the defense just kind of falls off a cliff. I think, you know, what Bill had mentioned is, you know, he's encouraged by his play. He was happy with how Flory played against K-State. But like you said, the foul thing is going to be a thing that we're going to continue to monitor, because right now, you know, 3-4 fouls, whatever, not a big deal. We're in January. But if this is still happening in March, it's a dangerous, dangerous situation. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, if he's getting four fouls in the 22 or 25 minutes a game or whatever he's going to play in March, it's going to be put KU in a stressful situation. And you know, analytically, Bill had mentioned this, and Evan Mia confirmed this. Kansas' best lineup right now includes Hunter Dickinson, Flory Badunga. It, you know, it is a really good combination. You know, I think the absolute best is what I saw was DeJuan Harris, Zeke Mayo, Shaquille Moore, Hunter Dickinson, and Flory Badunga, which is an interesting combination because the first three are pretty short, and then you have two really big guys.
A two-point guard and two-center lineup.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody's running that.
Like, yeah, so it's like, obviously, you know, the combination of minutes hasn't been played that much, so that's probably why it's a little skewed. But, you know, I've been a very big Flory Badunga guy in the sense of I think he is the most talented big KU's had in years. And his skill set is something they haven't had since, honestly, Embiid. I think that's the, you know, the level of talent that he has, he could have next year. I mean, think about it, guys. He hasn't been playing basketball that long. He started playing basketball 14, 15 years old. And this is just the precipice of, I think, what he can become. And he's going to be a guy that's going to be in the NBA for a long, long time.
Hunter Dickinson, 25 points, 8 rebounds, 12 of 19 shooting from the floor. And he's had so much criticism heaped on him, you know, throughout the course of this season. And we've talked about him on this show. Like, I think, Jacob, you, what was the word you used? You looked like a, you know, old man playing pickup basketball at the Y, you know,
he's
like
got
that.
The old man trot.
Yeah.
Yeah. That trot back down the floor the other way. Like that. I know that's stiff. That's like, I can't throw my back out on the way back.
But,
down.
Yeah. But I mean, look, I mean, the production was absolutely there against K-State, and, you know, he showed why he's almost an auto bucket, you know, for the Jayhawks. Are you seeing, I mean, obviously we're now midway through the season. Are you seeing signs that he's rounding back into that form that we wanted to see from him for so long? Or has it always been there? We just haven't really been able to appreciate it.
I see the flashes, you know. But if we go back to the Iowa State game, Hunter Dickinson wasn't very good.
Yeah.
Right? He wasn't great. And I feel like this is this weird thing with Hunter this year. And I think I didn't notice this as much last year. It feels like there's halves he's just unnoticed. You know, where he has 4 points on 5 shots and he has 4 rebounds with it. And, you know, you just can't get that out of Hunter Dickinson and expect to win a lot of basketball games or be in basketball games. I think it was a very encouraging sign. He took over in the second half against Kansas State. I think he scored the first 10 points out of behalf for them. That's great. I also don't think Kansas State had anybody who could really guard him. You know, like, this is something I expect. I mean, maybe my expectations for Hunter Dickinson are very high, but this is a guy who's been here 5 years. He's old. He's probably going to play overseas or play in the G League or NBA or whatever next year. He's 7'1". My expectations for Hunter Dickinson is 2022, like 20 and 12, like every game, minimum. Maybe that's a too high of an expectation for him, but that's the amount of shots he takes. That's the amount of usage he has. He's clearly the guy alongside Zeke Mayo to score the basketball for Kansas. That's the expectation. Maybe you're, I mean, you don't need to get 20 and 12 every game, but it's kind of what I, you know, an ideal version of Hunter Dickinson looks like. You know, he's not always going to be the best on defensive end, but you want to hope those numbers can come out. For me, what I need to see at Hunter Dickinson is inconsistency. I think that's the same thing I haven't seen from this entire Kansas team, is game in, game out consistency. I want to see that happen more often from him. I want to see that happen from half to half for him. But I also want to see that from the Kansas Jayhawks, because, guys, when's the last time they've won definitively against both of their opponents in a week? I can't remember. November was probably the last month that's happened.
Hunter Dick, I'm totally aligned with that Hunter Dickinson baseline, because the reality is if he's either getting that or they're making teams pay for trying to stop him for it, that's going to be the best version of Kansas, right?
Yeah.
I also think I'm with you on Flory Badunga. I think he unlocks Hunter Dickinson. I think he helps him on the defensive end, and I think he certainly creates more opportunities for him on the offensive end. And we'll see, because KJ Adams, we know as of Monday or so, Bill Self said, will miss 3 or 4 games. So they're going to get some time to tinker a little bit and then hopefully bring KJ Adams back with a force to be that defensive guy he is. What do you guys have for us, Shreyas, at the KC Star ahead of this game tonight?
Yeah, I have my TCU scouting breakdown preview, and obviously Gary will be there at Texas today. So I'm back in Lawrence because I'm helping out with Chiefs coverage this week, so that should be fun. I think I'll be there live tweeting, doing the usual. It should be a fun game. I think it'll be a defensive slugfest. I think this Kansas team is so good defensively. I think it's the best Kansas team I've seen in my 2.5 a year on a beat. So yeah.
And there's upside, honestly, for the defense, which is good too. We'll have Shreyas's coverage tonight. You can follow him on social, on X at SHRE98. You can find his work at the KC Stars, a KU Insider. Shreyas, we appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's good stuff. I like 6.5 tonight, Tommy. I'll be honest. I don't know about the over-under, but I like 6.5.
I like it too. I'm a fan of it. I think it's an opportunity for, you know, Kansas, to Shreyas's point, be able to have a couple of back-to-back fairly convincing conference wins. And I think that sort of momentum can, you know, continue to push you into the weeks ahead as we get deeper and deeper into conference play.
And it's a game flow that you would anticipate Kansas is very comfortable in, because you can start with Hunter Dickinson and see where that takes you. You don't have to try to keep up with somebody like when you're playing Iowa State.
Yeah, and we didn't get a chance to talk to Shreyas about this. I think the only concern I have, obviously you don't have KJ Adams, that's going to be, you know, a concern. But the only other concern I have is that over the last couple of games, we've seen the minutes on the court and the production trending down from guys like Rylan Griffin and David Coit. Like, those two guys are not doing much. Rylan Griffin was scoreless in 12 minutes on the floor. And he's, you know, at one point he was, I think, the first guy off the bench. I know I think he maybe even started a couple of games for the Jayhawks. His production is trending downward. That's a little concerning for me. And so I want to see how the Jayhawks combat that.
You know, what sucks about that for Griffin is, but you're seeing the development of Store, and I think we all kind of see the same thing, right? Team's going to be better if it's Store that steps into that role. So we'll see how that develops. It would be, what would I think be great is if Griffin becomes an instant offense kind of guy.
For sure.
But they need Store to be better. We got more coming up on Sports Daily. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back on the other side. It's a Wednesday. It's Albrockton Caster. Stick around.